We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilcha Shluchin, Halacha Hey, paragraph Yud Zayin. In the middle, in our versions, it's page 433, the left-hand column, about three-quarters way down the page. Rav Nosson Zal speaking about the incredible importance of coming close to tzaddikim during their lifetime and after their passing. Kize klal godol, because this is a very important rule, she'ein, and fact, she'ein hatzadik mistalik min ho'ilam ad shenoylad achar tachtov, that a tzadik does not leave the world until Hashem has provided a replacement, a substitute for him. Meaning that a new tzaddik has been born. Kemo Yisham Rabbi Yisein Uzzal, as the Gemara says, Ad sheloi meis eili, zorcho shimshoi shol Shmuel Haramosi. Before Eli HaKohen passed away, the son of the prophet Shmuel, son S-U-N, of the prophet Shmuel Anavi, started to shine already. V'chein harbe shechosh v'shon. And the Gemara gives many examples there like this. Avol tzrichin lechapes ulevakesh achar zeh harbe harbe. However, we need to search for this a lot. Bifrat badoirois halolu. Especially in our generations, in our times, meaning as we're getting closer to the coming of Moshiach. V'alkein, and therefore, kishehispidu koroi al aroin, after the Jews made a proper eulogy for Aharon HaKohen, we discussed in the previous year that when Aharon HaKohen first passed away, the Jews refused to accept it. They didn't believe Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't believe Elazar, and they were ready to kill them, chas v'shalom. And then it was only a while later, after the Jews had already traveled to a number of different locations, that it became clear to them that Aharon HaKohen had passed away. And it was at that point they went and repeated, they eulogized him again. And that was when they all agreed to accept the authority of the new Kohen Gadol, Elazar, his son. So now Rav Nosson Zal says, V'alkein, and therefore, kishehispidu koroi al Aharon, when the Jews gave Aharon HaKohen a proper eulogy the second time, shezeu b'chinas hachipus v'abakosho koroi achrat tzadikanal, which is an example of searching properly for the tzaddik, meaning when you really think about him and show respect to him and show how much you miss him. Oz daika Vayechahin Elozar benoy tachtov. That's why the Torah says, at that point, Elozar, his son, took over. Kirak oz niskahin Elozar bishleimus tachas Aharon, because it was only at that point that Elozar HaKohen's authority was established properly to replace Aharon HaKohen, v'zochu lekabel hatikunim hanas ma'idei HaKohen Gadol. And it was from that point on that the Jews were able to receive all the benefits that could be accomplished through the Kohen Gadol, Shemechaper al Kol Yisrael. He's the one who has the ability to atone for all the Jewish people, to help get all of our sins forgiven. Kiaf al pi she'elozor mitzidoi, kvar niskahin al pi adibor koroi, because even though Elozor, as far as he himself was concerned, he had already been appointed 100% by the command of Hashem. Hashem had told Aharon HaKohen and Moshe Rabbeinu to remove the clothing from Aharon HaKohen and put it on to Elazar, his son. And from that point on, Elazar was established as Kohen Gadol by Hashem. Avol, however, Me'achar Sheloi Kiblu Yisrael Kedushasoi Koroi, because of the fact that the Jewish people had not accepted the holiness of Elazar properly, ki hirhu ruach rav kanal, because they had all kinds of thoughts. They thought, who knows, maybe they had he had his father kidnapped or put away somehow so that he could take over. Al kein, therefore, mitzad Yisrael. As far as the Jewish people were concerned, adayin loy niskahin koroi. Elozar had not taken over the position properly. Vegama filu biatzmoi. Loihoiso kidushas kunosoi beshlemus, kolzman shaloi kiblu Yisroel kidushasoi koroi. Now Rav Nosson Zal adds a very important point here, that even regarding Elozar HaKoyen, who Hashem had designated and appointed him to take over his father's position after Aaron HaKoyen passed away, still, his authority was not complete, because the Jews had not yet accepted him properly. As the Gemara tells us in a different place, regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven to receive the oral Torah, and during that period of time the Jews started worshipping idols, the golden calf, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech, raid, go away, go down. And the Gemara says, what do you mean, go down? So the Gemara says that Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Klum nosati lecha gedula ela bishvil Yisrael. The only reason why I gave you this greatness, why you're up here and why you're so closely connected to me, is on behalf of the Jewish people, for you to lead them. If they don't deserve your leadership, if they don't deserve holiness, then you don't need to be elevated, then you don't need to be in this high position. Your greatness, your height is in order to serve them. So therefore, so long as the Jews had not accepted Elozar HaKoyen properly, even though Hashem had appointed him, his holiness was not established, his position was not established. Aval achshav, but now, when the Jews traveled further, they came to Moisera, and they completely acknowledged and accepted that Aaron HaKoyen is no longer with them and that they need a substitute. Vayechahin Elozar benoy tachtov. At that point, Elozar, his son, took over after him. Al yedei shechipsu achar Aaron. Through the Jews searching for the holiness of Aaron HaKoyen properly. Kichein tzrichim b'chol eis. Because this is what is required all the time. Bifrat kishenestale katzadik oemes, especially when a true tzaddik passes away, shetzrichin livkois velispoidolov harbe. We, the Jewish people who remain in this world, we are required to cry and to eulogize him and to mourn him a lot. And in fact, this is one of the special things about Tikkun Chatzos. In the prayers of Tikkun Chatzos, one of the main themes behind Tikkun Chatzos is that we mourn the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and that we mourn the loss of all the great tzaddikim, which is twice as great a loss as the Beis HaMikdash. Avol tzrichen lizoher moed. But Rav Nosson Zal says we have to be very careful how we go about this. Not to make a mistake in this mourning, mourning, loymar, to say shekvar meis hatzadik, now that tzadik died, v'ofes tikvah chas v'shalom, and there's no hope anymore. Now forget it. Now there's nobody. V'loy nishar oid boilam chalifosoy v'asherosoy. Now there's nobody around anymore that could compare to him in any way, or that could replace him in any way. Because this is a very, very major sin and mistake. Because the tzaddik is definitely not dead and gone. His holiness and his greatness has definitely remained to a degree by his children and his students. Rak shetzrichin levchapeis ulevakish achar zeh moid moid. It's just that you have to search for it a lot. It's not so obvious always, and it's not so easily accessible. As difficult as it was to get close to the tzaddik during his lifetime, sometimes it's even more difficult to get close to him after he passes away. Even when one tries to get close to his students and his children and his sforim, validei kol chipus uvakosha. However, through each and every effort of searching and yearning for the tzaddik, bevadai kedushas hasharosoi etzel bono v'tamidov. I'm sorry, moitzin bevadai kedushas hasharosoi etzel bono v'tamidov. The person will definitely find a remainder of that light of the tzaddik by his children and by his students. Shezeo bechinas, this is what the Torah means when it says that when the Jews came to that second location, Shom Meis Aharon, there Aharon HaKohen passed away, meaning there the Jewish people acknowledged in a proper way the loss of Aharon HaKohen, Vayechayin Elozer Benoi Tachtov, and they accepted, they appointed and accepted his son Elozer as his replacement. Oz Daika, then that's when Elozer HaKohen's authority was established fully by the Jews accepting his authority. Now Rav Nosson Zal goes into a whole other level of clarification of this topic. V'zeh b'chinas shin halochoy shenishtakhu b'imei evloi shel Moshe v'herzirom osniel ben kenaz b'pilpuloi k'moshom Rabbi Seinuzal. Based on what we're learning here, we'll understand what the Gemara tells us, that shortly after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, the Jews forgot 300 laws that Moshe Rabbeinu had taught them. And one of the great tzaddikim who was still living, his name was Osniel ben Kenaz, he delved deeply into everything he had learned from Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was able to restore those 300 halachos. He was able to bring it back to the Jewish people. Ki bevadai, now again, this appears in the Torah. And the Torah is not a storybook or a history book. If it appears in the Torah, it's not telling us something that happened a few thousand years ago. It's telling us something that we need to know for all generations. Ki bevadai al yedei ho'evel v'hespeid hamar al atzadik ho'emes b'chinas Moshe. Because one thing is positive, definite, that through the bitter mourning and eulogizing of Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the true tzaddik, nishkochin kama halochos. That frame of mind, when people go into a frame of mind of mourning and eulogy, that's a bechin of moichin de katnus. That causes people to forget. That's a darkness that the people are experiencing, which causes them to forget some of what they learned from their rabbi, from Moshe Rabbeinu. Ki ho'evel v'ha'hesped hu b'chinas histalkus ha'moichin kamuva. Because the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, mourning, and eulogizing is an aspect of histalkus ha'moichin. It's a recognition that we've lost our minds. We lost our rabbi, we lost our tzaddik, we lost our major source of learning and energy. Avol osur lihishor bozeh chas v'shalom. However, it's forbidden for a Jew to allow himself to remain in that frame of mind. Rak tzrichin livkoy sulahaspid olav moed. But rather, we need to cry and mourn the loss of, and eulogize the loss of the tzaddik a lot. Avol sheyia ha-hespeid l'chaim v'loy l'hefech ha-sashon. However, the eulogizing should not be something that pulls us down, that brings us into depression, that makes us less religious. The eulogizing has to be something that's uplifting, that we remember how great the tzaddik was. We remember all the fabulous things that we learned from him, and we use that as a springboard now to make a whole new beginning. lesaken, to use the opportunity, the mourning and the eulogizing, to repair, to fix. Veloy lekalkel al ideze, not to make things worse, not to destroy. Shaloy loymar chas v'shalom shekvar ofes tikva, not to allow ourselves to say those words. Oh, now forget it. Now it's all over. Now there's no hope. There's no hope for us. Kederech kamo anoshim she'omrim kach al histalkus hatzadikim. Like there are many people who do speak like that when great tzaddikim pass away, especially when a number of tzaddikim pass away. She'omrim, they say, she'ato kvar lo nishalonu klum chas v'shalom. Now there's nobody. Now there's nobody. We don't have anybody. Avol be'emes heim shoygim bozeh harbe harbe. Whereas in truth, they're making a very, very big mistake by saying that. Ki afal pi shemitzad echod oimrim k'tzas emes. Because even though on one hand, what they're saying is a little bit true, because it's definitely true that there's no longer a tzaddik of that caliber, of that greatness anymore. Because it's definitely true that when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, there was nobody left that was equal to him, literally. Because the Gemara tells us that the face of Moshe Rabbeinu shone like the sun, whereas the face of his closest, best student, Yeshua, shone like the moon. The moon is a lot smaller than the sun. And the Gemara says, Oiloi Sabusha, woe is to the shame and embarrassment when you put Yeshua next to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's like, K'moshem Rabbi Seinuzal, as the Gemara says, Avol, however, afal pikein, even though that's true, osur lishoer chas v'shalom bozeh, it is forbidden, it's against the Torah, it's not Jewish for a Jew to leave it at that, to make such a statement and leave it at that. Shemach mazeh ofes tikva, that because of the fact that the new rabbis are so much smaller than the previous rabbis, so forget it, so we have nothing, ofes tikva, there's no hope. Because it's just the opposite. Authentic Judaism teaches us the opposite of that. Because Hashem will never forsake the Jewish people. He will never leave us stranded nowhere with no leadership at all. Because it says in the Torah that Hashem's kingdom continues from generation to generation. Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, Judaism did not close down. Rabbi Akiva passed away, Judaism does not close down. Uchsiv, there's another pasuk that says, Machshefo is liboy ledor vador, that Hashem's intentions and Hashem's plans for the Jewish people continue from generation to generation. Al kein, therefore, tzrichin lehamin, we must believe, she'af al pi she'tzrichin lizgagea mo'id, that even though we need to yearn tremendously for Moshe Rabbeinu, to say we wish we had the tzaddikim of the previous generation with us, a true Jew will always make sure to finish the sentence with words of consolation, with an upbeat. To console ourselves and to rejoice with what we have, what was left behind. That Baruch Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu did not leave the world before leaving us with the Torah, before leaving us with his students. Dehainu ha-Torah ha-Gdoyshe she-nishar mimenu, meaning the holy Torah that remains from the tzaddik, al-yidei sforov, through his writings, v'talmidov, and his students. Kimei hatzadik u'amiti bevadai nishar hashoro toivo lo netzach. Because from a true tzaddik, they will always remain behind part of him eternally. Rak tzrichin lechapeis ulevakeish harbe v'kanal. It's just that it's not always so obvious. It's not always so clear. You have to really search for it. V'kanal. Interesting current events. One of the closest students and friends of Rav Rosenfeld, Zichrono Livracha, from 50 years ago, who from the time that Rav Rosenfeld passed away till recently has always periodically told over stories or things he heard or things like that, just recently got in the mood, got inspired, and especially turned on by one of Rav Rosenfeld's younger students who started poking him a little and asking him questions, reminding him a little, forcing him to remember stories that took place in the past. This led to an interview that's been going on over the past few weeks of hours and hours of this student, this older student, recounting, remembering stories and things he heard and things he saw. And this is being recorded and transcribed, documented. All kinds of knowledge, important, interesting things from which a person could glean guidance and advice that's just being brought out because somebody was searching. Somebody was searching a little in one of the students, you know, older students. He knew that if this person was a real student, he must have seen a lot, because we know the Mishnah tells us that one of the most important ways that a person learns from a rabbi is by being in his presence and watching, living him, spending quality time with him and watching things he does and traveling with him all. And in that process, learning sometimes in 1 hour of Shimush Chachamim, a person could learn what they can't learn from 1,000 pages of books. Besides the different shurim that were heard and the Divrei Torah that were heard, this is an example of this chipus, this search. V'zeh b'chinas, this is what the Gemara is referring to when it says, Shebimei evloi shel Moshe nishtakhu kamalochas. That during the mourning period for Moshe Rabbeinu, many laws, many of the teachings of Moshe Rabbeinu were forgotten. Why? Machmas merirus ha-hesped. Because of the bitterness of the eulogy. People were feeling bitter. People were feeling down and out by this incredible loss. Bechinas histalkus ha-moichin. And the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that a eulogy, mourning, is a period where the moichin leave. A person is not thinking clearly. Avol Osniel ben Kenaz. However, the tzaddik Osniel ben Kenaz, bo'oitzen tzidkosoi v'chochmosoi, through his righteousness and his great knowledge, ro'o, he saw and he realized, she'ein ze tachlis toiv lasoik rak behesped, that this is not a good end. This is not a goal to get ourselves down and to forget what Moshe Rabbeinu taught us. V'loimar, and to say, shechas v'sholom, efes tikva, there's no hope, Moshe Rabbeinu's not here now, what can we do? There's nothing we can really do now. Ad shechas v'sholom yishtakhu oit halochas chas v'sholom. Because that attitude will bring the people further down and they'll forget more of what they learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. Alkein, his ameitz babechino hanal, therefore Osniel ben Kenaz strengthened himself. He girded his loins in this way, lenachem, to console, ulesameach atzmoi, and to bring himself into a state of joy and happiness, shebevaday adayin yesh tikva, that there definitely is still hope for us. Rak tzrichin lechapei solavakesh harbe kanal. Just we're going to have to work a little harder to search and yearn for the light of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ad shehichzir kol ha-hachlochos bipilpuloi. To the point where this tzaddik Osniel b'Kenaz succeeded in retrieving, in bringing back all of that knowledge that was forgotten during the mourning period. He brought it all back through his pilpul. That's the word in the Gemara that's used. And Rav Nosson Zalnei is going to clarify, what does pilpul mean? Pilpul, zebechina simcha. Pilpul is a form of learning, a form where people get together to hash out an issue, and they discuss it and they argue it out, they fight it out until they come to a clarity. As a result of their discussing and debating the issue back and forth, they come to a real clarity regarding what they're discussing. So Rav Nosson Zal says, Pilpul zebechina simcha. Pilpul represents joy and happiness. Bechinas, as the Gemara says, chodi kut shebarichu bepilpula. Hashem rejoices. Hashem is happy when he sees his children being mefalpel in Torah. He sees Jews fighting it out, arguing it out in Torah. And now Rav Nosson Zal qualifies this, because there are different kinds of pilpul. There are pilpulim, where people discuss issues in Torah, and they can discuss it for hours and go nowhere. It's a discussion that does not lead to any iota of coming closer to Hashem, or any iota of clarity in serving Hashem. They're discussing something just for the sake of discussion, for the purpose of arguing and sharpening their mind by arguing about something that's not leading to any real consequence. It's not leading to clarifying any halacha, to knowing what to do in serving Hashem. And there are many sforim that speak out against that kind of pilpul, because there isn't enough time in life. If a person were going to live 30, 40,000 years, then sure, there's enough time to learn all the laws and all the details of Torah, and to play ping pong, to argue and debate things that don't lead to any real tachlis. But since not all of us know that we're going to be living 30, 40,000 years, it's much better to devote our time first, to devote the first 70 to 120 years trying to get to know what you're supposed to do and what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do, and how to come close to Hashem and how to really serve Hashem properly. So Rav Nosson Zal says here, ki pilpul shel emes, because a pilpul regarding truth, regarding clarifying the truth of the Torah, meaning, and now Rav Nosson Zal defines this, la'ayin ulechapes b'hatoyra, amitas amkus eitzois hatoyra gdoisho lovda, to delve into and to search inside the Torah for the true depth of the advice of the Torah, lovda, in action, to be able to know exactly what does Hashem want us to do? What are we supposed to do in this world? Shezeh ha'ikar, that's the real essence of the study of Torah. Zehu bevadai simcha gedoyla. That is definitely a tremendous joy and happiness. It's a joy to the ones who are doing it, and it's a tremendous joy to Hashem. Kama Shekosev, as the Pasuk says, Pikudei Hashem yeshorim misamchei lev. The commandments of Hashem are proper, they bring joy to the heart. Meaning that the more a person is zocheh to clarify the commandments of Hashem, exactly what Hashem wants us to do, and what that brings joy to a person. Vizehu ikar bechinas hachipus vabakosha. And that's the real essence of searching for Hashem and searching for the tzaddik in the Torah itself. Kama Shekosev, as the pasuk says, lechol tichla roisi kates, that regarding all types of yearnings that people have for different things, I see an end. I see it comes to an end. But the pasuk continues, but rechava mitzvascha moed, but Hashem, your mitzvahs, they're infinite. There is no end. You can delve into it more and more, and get derive further clarity and more clarity in how to come close to Hashem. Upirish Rashi on that pasuk in Tehillim says, this is in chapter 119 in Tehillim, lesalsel ulefalpel bo, that this refers to this rechava mitzvos chamin means to turn the Torah over and over, to go over it again and again, and delve into it deeply, to want to understand it more clearly. Another commentary on the pasuk, and another commentary. I want to see how the Ramban explains this pasuk, how Rashi explains this pasuk, how the Or HaChaim, each one is bringing another level of clarity about Hashem, about the Torah, about Judaism, about serving Hashem. Nimtza, We see, therefore, shehasilsul, that this turning the Torah around and around, going over it again and again, and hu hachipus v'habakosha, that is the search. Kama shekosuv, as we find in another pasuk, salsaleho usaroi memeko, turn the Torah over and over and elevate it. Ukama shepirosh Rashi shama, as Rashi HaKodesh explains over there, hu bechinas pilpul amiti, this refers to the true type of pilpul, where a person is trying to get clearer and clearer and clearer understanding of what Hashem really wants from us, and how we come close to Hashem, and what Yiddishkeit is really all about. Through that kind of learning, that brings joy and happiness. And joy, happiness, is expanded consciousness, where the brain opens up. It's the opposite of moichin dekatnus. It's the opposite of histalkus ha-moichin that we mentioned earlier. V'alkein, ayidezeh hechzir kol ha-halochoi sh'nishtakhu al yidei ho'evel v'esperanol. And therefore, it's through this type of learning, when it says that Osniel ben Kenaz was able to restore all of that lost information from Moshe Rabbeinu with his pilpul, through this type of learning, by going deeper and deeper and going over it again and again, believing that every line in the Torah has infinite layers of depth. And each time I look at it again, I uncover another layer of clarity. Kize ikar hatikun. Because this is the real goal. Lenachem ulesameach atzmoi acharkach. That after you finish mourning and eulogizing and feeling terrible about the loss of Moshe Rabbeinu, to make sure that you turn it around to a consolation and to joy and happiness, acharkach. Ulechapes ulevakesh lesalseil ulefalpil betoirosoi. And to search and turn over and delve deeply into the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, ad shenachzor ha-halochos, until we succeed in restoring and bringing back all of the knowledge that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us. Sheheim bechinas amitas amkus etzois avakdoshim, which refers to the true depth of the holy advice of the Torah. Shezeo bechinas shemoitzen es hatzadik, that's called finding the tzaddik. That's called searching for the tzaddik. The kanal, as we explained earlier. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to bring another new level of clarity to this. An incredible story. Paragraph Yutes. V'zeo bechinas ve'elisha Cholo escholyoi asher yomusboi. The Navi tells us that at one point in the life of Elisha Navi, he became ill, and this was his final illness from which he passed away. This is in Malachim Beis, chapter 13. Vam Rabbi Senuzal, the Gemara tells us, Shloisha choloim cholo Elisha. Elisha Navi became ill three times. Echod, Shedocho Ezgechazi, once he became ill, after pushing away, rejecting his student Gechazi, he threw him out completely. V'echod, Shegero Dubim Betinoikos. The second illness was when Elisha Novi came to a certain city where they were suffering, that their water was very, very bitter. The water turned terrible, had a terrible taste to it. And there were a group of young ruffians who made a living. They were young and strong. They would travel to a different city and bring back water and sell it at a high price. And Elisha Navi visited this city once, and the people said to him, Rabbi, maybe you could help us. We have water, we have sources of water in the city, but they're spoiled. There's some kind of problem with them. And because of that, we're forced to import water at a high price. Elisha Navi said, no problem. He was mispalel Tashem, he davened Tashem, and the waters of that city became sweet and good. So these youths, who had a monopoly on the water supply, who were making big bucks in importing the water, they heard who was behind this, and they started cursing him. They cursed Elisha Navi. Look who they're playing with. So the Navi says, Elisha Navi was leaving the city, and these kids are yelling curses and everything. 42 youths. The Navi says he turned around, he looked at them. And then he turned back. And suddenly, a forest sprang up around them. And bears in the forest. And the bears came running at these 42 kids and mauled them to death. No more 42 youths. You play with fire. You play with Elisha Navi. And the Gemara says that Elisha Navi became ill immediately afterwards. Hashem punished him for punishing these kids. Even though the Gemara says he turned around to look, what was he looking? He was looking to see if there was any potential of good in them. He was looking into their souls to see, is there any future good that's destined to come out of them? No? Okay. Goodbye, kids. And that was when all of this happened. Still, Elisha Navi got punished for this. Ve'echod, and then his third illness was Shemespo, the final illness from which he passed away. And now Rav Nosson Zal explains, V'hakoil Echod, and this is all really one concept. Ki ze toli bozer, because this is, it's all connected. Ki Elisha shehoyo novi godoil me'oid. Elisha, who was one of the greatest of the prophets, student, the closest student to Eliyahu HaNavi, the one who took over after him. He brought dead people back to life. Afal Pikein, despite that, despite his greatness, Gilu Lanu Rabbi Seinuzal, our rabbis have revealed to us, Sheshogo Bozeh, that Elisha HaNavi made a tiny mistake in this, Shedocho Ezgechazi B'Shtei Odayim, in that his student Gehazi, who did terrible things, the Navi says, and the Gemara expounds, that this Gehazi was a real bad person. He showed tremendous disrespect and disloyalty to Elisha Navi, and still, the fact that Elisha Navi pushed him away with both hands, meaning he didn't leave any room for him coming back, any opening for him to make a comeback. Because regarding this concept that Rabbeinu Zal speaks about in Likut Imran, in chapter 8, in the second half of Likut Imran, which this halach is based on again, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this search for the true tzaddik, sheyesh loy bechinas ruach hakodesh, a tzaddik that's on a level that he has the Holy Spirit of Hashem, yesh poze amkus harbe ma'oi. There's incredible depth to this. It's not a simple thing at all. Ki hamaniyos loze mispashtim u'mishtatchin ma'oid. Because the obstacles to block a Jew from finding this true tzaddik and coming close to him are incredible. The Yetzirah will do everything in his power to block a person from coming close to this true tzaddik. And not just a person, the entire Jewish nation. Ho'iker mitzad pigam ha-mekablin. And the major part of the obstacles are related to us, to the students, not to the tzaddik. Because of our sins, because of all the bad things we do and everything, we create walls, we create obstacles blocking us, preventing us from recognizing, from knowing who is the true tzaddik and from coming close to him. Aval pigam hamoin bnei Yisrael hatzricham lechapeis ulevakish al kabbalish tzad tzadik mizgaber lefomim kol kachas v'shom. However, the sins and the defects of the Jewish people who are supposed to be searching for and receiving the holiness of the tzadik, sometimes their sins and their mistakes are so huge, chas v'shom, to the point where they actually affect the tzaddik himself and they cause the tzaddik to make a mistake. To the point where suddenly the tzaddik doesn't see clearly the path Eich Yuchal L'Sakin Es Yisrael, as to how he's able to fix, how he's able to repair the Jewish people. Ubozeh Yesh Dvorim Nistorim Harbe. And Rav Nosnal says, regarding this, there are many hidden things that we don't know about. We have no idea regarding the obstacles. We have no idea regarding the sins that we do and how they affect us and how they create all kinds of problems and how they can actually affect the tzaddik himself sometimes and cause him to become confused and not to be able to see clearly what to do. We know one incredible example of this is the story of Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert, when Hashem asked Moshe Rabbeinu to bring water from a rock. And at one point, on one incident, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to strike the rock. And he did strike the rock and it gave water. And then a while later, there was another incident, similar incident. And this time Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to the rock. And instead, Moshe Rabbeinu went and struck the rock. And Rabbeinu Zal has a chapter in Likut Imran, one of the most incredible chapters of Likut Imran, chapter 20, where Rabbeinu Zal explains exactly what took place there, as do other commentaries. And one of the main things that we're told is that the Jews drove Moshe Rabbeinu crazy. They made him nuts with all their battling and their complaints, constantly complaining, badgering, rebelling, to such a point where it caused Moshe Rabbeinu himself to experience a slight degree of a confusion and to make a mistake, to confuse two issues, how he addresses the rock and how he addresses the Jewish people. The Jewish people needed to get smacked, but the rock, which represented the Shekhinah, when you stand before the Shekhinah, there's no smacking, there's no hitting, there's no grabbing. There you have to plead, you have to beg. And Rabbeinu Zal gives an incredible explanation. But here again, we see an example where, because we know the Gemara says that when the Rashi quotes the Gemara, which says that when Hashem were applied to Moshe Rabbeinu to accept the job of leading the Jewish people, Hashem told him up front, they're the worst. You better get ready for the worst. They're stubborn, they're ksheyoref, they're sarvonim, they complain. You'll give them good and they'll return bad. Moshe Rabbeinu was told this up front, that this is what he's getting into. Ukemuvan ktsas mizeh bahatoira kartolisa. And as we find, Rabbeinu Zal touches on this a little bit in chapter 18, in the first half of Likut Imran. Coincidence, I just completed this chapter yesterday. There's a group of people in Baltimore that I learn with over Skype on Sundays, 9:30 a.m. They have a shiur in Baltimore, Likut Imran. And we started about 6 months ago. And just yesterday, we completed this Torah. And we touched on this piece where Rabbeinu Zal shows there how many times a tzaddik is reluctant to accept, to take the job. Hashem says, how would you like to help the Jewish? How would you like to lead the Jewish people? He says, Hashem, no thanks. The last thing in my life that I need now. My life has enough turbulence and upra. The last thing, because it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Harabonus mekaberes es baleh. Leadership buries the one who acquires it. No thanks, Hashem. Give it to the Arabs. Bury them. I don't want to get buried. I still have things I want to do here in my life. And the example again of Moshe Rabbeinu, who refused when Hashem offered him the job of taking the Jews out of Egypt. And Rabbeinu Zal discusses this also in other places. Ubifrat bekama sichos, especially in several paragraphs of Sichos Haran, Rabbi Nachman's wisdom. Vezer bechinas kol hatainos v'havikuchim shoyah bein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is the concept behind the arguments and the debates that took place between Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu. Shashim Yisborach Baruch Hu hiftzir harbe b'Moshe sheyelech b'shlichusoi ligoil ulesakein es Yisrael. Hashem pleaded and begged Moshe Rabbeinu a lot to accept the mission of redeeming the Jews and repairing them. U'Moshe mayein b'miyun achar miyun. And Moshe Rabbeinu refused repeatedly, again and again. V'akoyl b'b'china sanal. And all tied into what we just learned. Machmas sheyoda shehu dovor kosher v'koved moed moed. Because Moshe Rabbeinu knew that this is a very, very difficult thing. The connection between the tzaddik and the Jewish people. The whole relationship. Ki yoda shebekoroiv yekalkalu. He knew that if he accepts this mission, and if he succeeds in the mission, a short while later, they're going to mess up again. With a golden calf, with other things. Umachmazeh, Omar, and for that reason, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, V'heim lo yaminu bi. They're not going to believe in me. They're not going to trust me. They're not going to respect me. V'omar, that was one statement that Moshe Rabbeinu made. V'omar, and he said, Mi anoichi ke'elech el paroi. Who am I? Who am I? I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I'm not worthy to go to Paroi, v'chi oitzi es Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, and to lead the Jews out of Egypt. Listen to the two different arguments. Ki ro'o she Yisrael adayin ein emunosam shlema. Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the Jews had not yet achieved perfection of faith. Me'oitzim zu'amas Mitzrayim, as a result of the severe tumah, impurity of Egypt, that they were swimming in. Shehu pigam ha-medame, which is the pigam of medame, which we discussed in the previous year. Shenechas bohem kol kach, which was so attached to the Jewish people when they were in Egypt. That was one problem. There's a problem from their side. Vegam tolo hadovar bekatnusoy. And in addition to that, Moshe Rabbeinu came up with another argument. They have a problem, and I have a problem. I'm not qualified for this job at all. I'm too small for this. Shehu ein boy koyach levarer lesakin amedamel shalem. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I can't purify and fix their medame, lohitzion mipigam emunosam, to take them out of their deficiency in faith. Al kein omar, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu said two things. Vehein lo yaminu li. They're not going to believe me. They're not going to believe in me. There's a lack of faith on their side. Shetoan shtei tainois. Shemitzidom umitzidoi koshe lahachnes boim emuna. That both from their side and from my side, it's difficult to bring the Jewish people to real emuna. Veze vehein daiko. That's why he said they. Lo yaminu li, they will not believe in me. Kihem pigumim mizuas Mitzrayim, because they are in a state of defectiveness. Their emuna is defective and deficient because of the tumah of Egypt. Vani, and I, ein bekoichi lazor. I don't have the ability. I don't have the strength to help them. Ki hoyo onov be'enov moed. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was very humble in his own eyes. He considered himself nothing. Aval Hashem Yisborach hikpid al zeh. However, we see that Hashem's response was that Hashem got upset at this. V'omar Hashem said to him, Oh yeah? Hove no yotcha b'chekecha. Place your hand into your bosom, into your lap. V'yotzia. And then he said, Now take it out. Vehine mitzoyras, and suddenly his hand was covered with leprosy. Vechein, and then Hashem said to him another thing, Nepach hamate lenochosh, take the stick, throw it down, and it turned into a snake. Vedosh Rabbi Seinuzal, and the Gemara tells us, Umuva bepirush Rashi quotes the Gemara, Shebechol ze romazloi, shepogam beloshin horo, shedibra al Yisrael. That through these two things, Hashem was showing Moshe Rabbeinu that he made a mistake in speaking against the Jewish people, in saying, "What are you? They're not going to believe. Who told you? Who told you they're not going to believe?" Kemo shepirush Rashi sham, as Rashi points out over there, Hainu sheromaz loy shemashu memoin kol kach. Hashem hinted to Moshe Rabbeinu that the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu keeps refusing again and again, humachma shegam hu ba'oitzen noirois kedushasoi, Adayin yesh bo achizas pegam loshon hara. That Moshe Rabbeinu, despite the incredible high level of holiness that he had achieved, he still had in him a slight trace of loshon hara. Shehu bechinas pegam hamedame, which is related to medame, kemoshekosuv b'Torah vayhi miketz, as Rabbeinu Zal explains in chapter 54 in Likut Imran. Rabbeinu Zal has an incredible explanation there about the topic of Lashon Hara and how it's tied into Medame. Ayin Sham, look over there. Hainu, meaning, Shezeh she'oimer vehein lo yaminu li. This that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, that they're not going to believe in me, Zeh nimshach mi pegam ha-medame. That's being brought about as a result of a problem in Medame, whereby the medame is so messed up as a result of our sins, to the point where a slight trace of this defect affects the tzaddik emes himself and allows him to make a tiny, tiny mistake, to the point where the tzaddik loses faith in himself, sheyesh loy koyach lesaken es Yisrael, to believe in himself that he does have the ability to help the Jewish people. He does have the ability to fix them. Vezehu gam kein moifes hamayim shenepchu ledam. And this is also the concept behind the third thing that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu. Take some of the water, throw it on the floor, and it turned into blood. Ki hadam ze ikar hisgabrus hamedame shehu mizgaber al yedei hadomim kemuva. Rabbeinu Zal explains in Likut Imran that the whole concept of medame, which we explained earlier, that one of the explanations of medame is a mixture of good and bad, dark and light, twilight, darkness and light mixed up together, confusion. So Rabbeinu Zal says that this medame, one of the things that makes this medame strong is blood. Blood meaning gashmius. Blood, flesh and blood is the essence of gashmius. That the more a person gets involved in materialism, in physicalness, the more the forces of medame work on that person. Shehu mizgaber al yedei hadamim kemuva. The koyach medame becomes strong in a person the more he feeds his gashmius, his blood. Rabbeinu Zal in fact says that one of the reasons why it's called medame is it has the word dam in it, blood. And this is also the concept behind, if you look in the writings of the Arizal speaks about the Jews in Egypt, and he speaks about the blood, the bathing in blood over there. We know that it's brought, for example, that Paroi contracted leprosy at one point. And his doctors told him that the cure for his leprosy is to bathe in blood. So he said, wonderful, no problem. We have a big quantity of Jewish kids. And they would shecht Jewish kids to provide a blood bath for Paroi. Paroi bathing in blood. But the Arizal in his forum speaks a lot about this blood in Egypt. Shekol achizas Mitzrayim hoyo bahadamim. That the whole power of Egypt, the tumah, the impurity of Egypt, was able to affect the blood of the Jewish people. And their whole power was reflected in blood. Kama shekosev bekavonois, as the Arizal writes in his writings, al posuk vo'oymer loch, Hashem says that I passed through Egypt and I saw the Jews bathing in filth. And I said to them, with your blood you will live, with your blood you will live. Hainu bechinas pigam hamedame. Again, this refers to that defective medame, sheze ikar golos Mitzrayim. That was what the exile in Egypt was really all about. Shoyonechas bahadamim. It affected the blood, shelo nizdakuas, which had not yet been purified. Rabbeinu Zal in Likut Imran speaks about a Jew purifying every drop of blood inside of him, working on himself through Torah and Tefillah and Mitzvos Ma'asim Tovim. That helps the purest person purify himself, meaning purify every drop of blood inside of himself. And it's only once a person succeeds in doing that, that he rids himself of all the Taivos Rois and the Midos Rois, anger and other things that are defined by this bad blood. We know the expression, there's bad blood between these two people, means they don't like each other, they hate each other. V'alkein hera l'moshe zois b'moifes hadam. And this is what Hashem showed this to Moshe Rabbeinu in this miracle that happened with the blood. She'tzrichin lahanish es hamitzrim bedam. We need to punish the Egyptians with blood. La'foich kol ha'mayim shalem ledam. To convert all of their water to blood, which means laharos lahem, to show them she'ein lahachachomim shalem shum das v'seichel amiti. That their wise men, their stargazers, their magicians, they don't have any real brains. They don't have any real quality knowledge. Ki hamayim shubchinas hadas, because water, which represents das, knowledge, k'moshekosev, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya chapter 11, ki simole ho'oretz deya, the world will be filled with knowledge, lodas es Hashem, to recognize Hashem, kamayim layam echasim, like the water that covers the ocean floor. So we see that das is compared to water. Etzlam, but by them, by the Egyptians, nifgam kol hadas hazeh, their das is spoiled, is messed up, ad shenishapech ledam, to the point where it's turned to blood. Shehu b'chinas pigam hamedame shenachas ba'adam aroim. That represents this defective medame, which attaches itself to the bad blood in a person, shelo nizdaku, the blood inside the person that has not yet been purified. Machmas ribui tavoiseim horois, as a result of them pursuing all of their evil desires. V'chol ha'geula toloi bozeh, and the whole redemption of the Jewish people is dependent on this. Shashem yisborach yashpia nevuosoi v'ruach kotshoi al Moshe, that Hashem should send down a flow of prophecy and Ruach HaKodesh, Hashem's Holy Spirit, upon Moshe Rabbeinu, b'hashpo gedoy l'kol kach, with such great quantities, ad shebetoykev kidushosoy yivarer hamedame shel kol Yisrael k'nal, to the point where Moshe Rabbeinu will reach such an incredible high level of holiness that he'll be able to purify all of the medame of the entire Jewish people. The kanal, as we discussed earlier. V'yaf al pi she'achar kach yivgemu al yidei cheto egel v'shar hanesyonois. And even though, after Moshe Rabbeinu succeeded in taking the Jews out of Egypt, and he brought them to Har Sinai, and they got the Torah, and they reached this high level of emuna, v'yaminu b'shem o'shavdoi, even though we find that after that, they went ahead and messed things up again with the golden calf and the other ways that they tested Hashem. Ad she'igramu ma she'igramu, to the point where the Jews will cause what they will cause, meaning churban bayis rishon, the destruction of the first holy temple, ubayis sheni, and the second one. Afal pikein, still despite that, ato muchroch leilech b'shlichusam, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, must go to be my messenger to redeem them, to take them out of Egypt. Ki tifoil harbe letoiva, because you will accomplish major, major things in doing that. What are you going to accomplish? Ki ha-Torah shetitein li-Yisrael, because the Torah, which you will eventually give them on Mount Sinai, tiskayim lo-netzach, will remain with the Jewish people forever, eternally. And if whatever will happen to the Jews, meaning if they'll go through all kinds of terrible, terrible periods in their history, where they'll commit all kinds of sins, afal pikein HaTorah Tiskayim B'chol Dor V'Dor. Despite that, the Torah will live and continue in every single generation Al Yidei HaTzadikei Emes Bali Ruach HaKodesh Shiyu B'chol Dor. Through the true tzaddikim, those who have real Ruach HaKodesh that exist in every single generation, Sheyamshichu Kiddushas Kiyum HaTorah Midor L'Dor L'Netzach. Those tzaddikim will draw the holiness of the Torah from generation to generation, pass it down from generation to generation eternally. Now Rav Nosson Zal, okay, finished? Hashem, you finished? Rav Nosson Zal says, V'yafal pikin, after all of this, after Hashem making all of this perfectly clear to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'yafal pikin, me'ein Moshe achar kach. And still Moshe Rabbeinu said, no thanks, not interested. He refused. V'omar, he said, shlachno b'yad tishloch. Hashem, don't send me, send the one who you're gonna send in the future. V'dosh Rabbi Sein Azal, our rabbis tell us, what did he mean by that? Yoideyani she'eni goyalem lo'osid. Moshe Rabbeinu was implying, I know that I'm not the one who's going to take them out permanently, eventually, in the future. That my taking them out is only a temporary kind of temporary fix. It's a band-aid. V'oz v'yichar af Hashem b'Moshe. And the Torah says, when Moshe Rabbeinu said that, Hashem got angry. V'huchrach leilech. And Moshe Rabbeinu was forced to go. Ki be'emes, because the truth is, the same way the Jewish people are required to search for the tzaddik, kemoi kein tzorech gam hatzaddik biatzmoi lechapes es atzmoi v'sisrael. So too the tzaddik has to search for himself and the Jewish people. He has to search for that bond, that connection. Kigam hatzadik eino yoidea meatzmoi, because even the tzaddik does not know of his own greatness, his own abilities. Befrat bedover godol veomoy kozer, especially when it comes to something as great and deep as this, Lazarus Israel, to help the Jewish people, levarer hamedameshalem, to be able to sort out and clarify their medame, all of their confusion. Because to a human being who has free choice, it's very, very difficult to help such a person make the right choices. As we've explained throughout our writings many times. Alkein mein Moshe. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu refused. He objected. V'omar shlach no biyad tishloch. Hashem, send the one who you're going to send in the future. Meaning, me'achar shani yodei ashikr gmar gul achroina lo yiyah ato al yodi. Once I know that the real final redemption is not going to be accomplished by me right now over here. So what do you need this for, Hashem? And Hashem responded to him, Adarabba, just the opposite of what you are thinking. Ato she'ato yodeo emes. Now that you know the truth, kol kach, that you understand the truth so well, you know about now, you know about the future, you know all of this. Alkein machmazeh daiko ata tzorech leilech. For that reason, because you are so knowledgeable, that's why you are the one who has to go. And the tatzliya pishluchusi, and you will succeed in the mission that I'm sending you on. Kimeach arshato yedea, shegam atot sorech lechape sulavake shlalon yoiser. Once you know and you realize that you are not the end, that you also will have to search further, to search in yourself and to search for the future light, for the light of Moshiach, ulavake shlalon yoiser. Zehu ikar hashlemus. That is real perfection. That really shows that a tzaddik is complete when he knows that he's not the beginning and the end of everything. That there's more. And that he still has to keep climbing. The moment they tzel, we know about Rabbeinu Zal. One of the most incredible things about Rabbeinu Zal is that he never stopped. He never stopped. He always said there's so much more. And there was once a time that Rabbeinu Zal was standing with Rav Nosson Zal, and he said to him, I think it was shortly after Shavuos, and Rabbeinu Zal said to Rav Nosson Zal, how does a person become a religious Jew? How does a person become an observant Jew? And Rav Nosson Zal looked at him saying, like, what are you saying? What are you saying? You're the biggest tzaddik. You just gave us on Shavuos. You just revealed such incredible Torah. What are you talking about? So Rabbeinu Zal said, I'll explain. Where I have gotten to now, I never imagined in my wildest dreams that a human being could get to this level, that it's possible to get to this level. So if that's the case, who knows how much more there is to go? Who knows? So where I'm at now compared to what there is to go is I'm in first grade, I'm in kindergarten, I'm in pre-1A. There's so much, it never ends. We're still so tiny. We're still so far from Hashem. And that's Shlemus. Rav Nosson said, when a tzaddik knows that, then he's the real deal. Then he's the real tzaddik. And he's best suited for the job. Al kein, therefore Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech go, v'onoichi eye imach, I will be with you. V'tatzliach harbe b'shluchusi, and you'll be very successful in your mission. V'sigolem, you're going to take them out of Egypt. V'titein lehem ha-Torah, and you will give them the Torah, shetiskayim lo netzach, which will remain permanent, eternal. Vim yi achar kach mashayia, and if whatever's going to happen afterwards is going to happen, all kinds of trouble, soif kol soif yugmar ha-tikun, eventually, in the end, the tikkun, the job, will be completed through this itself, through this process. Which process? Al yidei sheyimotzu ksherim utmimim bechol dor v'dor. Through the fact that in every single generation, there will be good quality people. There'll be good, religious, sincere people. Shem bechinas b'nei Levi, who are referred to as the tribe of Levi. Hanilvim el Hashem, because Levi means attached. They're going to be attached to Hashem. Vel hatzadik u'emiti, and they will attach themselves to the true tzadik. Be'emes, for real. Sheheim yechapsu v'yevakshu es kedushas hatzadik u'emes b'chol dor. They will continue searching and seeking out the holiness of the true tzadik in every generation. Ad sheyimtzu kedushos b'chol pam. Until they will succeed in discovering the holiness of the tzaddik in every generation. Vaydezeh yugmar hatikun. And through this process, the tikun will eventually be completed. We'll hold it over here for now.